Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Let it play, let it play. George is pulling in the parking lot right now.
I haven't left the building.
Old times, you would have said, Joe, yeah, it on. It'll go on 3-4 minutes, and then we'll...
Well, I think that happened to both of us. It's been 25 years, Joe, since we've done Monday Night Sports
Talk.
Right.
We're now more punctual than we used to be.
And this is a first-ever Monday Night Sports Talk. By the way, I'm getting emails from people telling me there are other Monday Night Sports Talks on podcasts. Bleep them.
We invented the thing.
And we're calling it Monday Night Sports Talk.
And anybody who did that is subject to a copyright lawsuit, aren't they?
I think so.
Yes.
We got a team upstairs that can help.
And this is, on this occasion, there happens to be Game 3 of the Divisional Series tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Our boys have been outscored by 6 runs in each game Friday and Saturday. And
18 to 6. Right?
Look terribly uncompetitive to me.
Yeah, they do. This Yankee lineup is fantastic. They don't swing at non-strikes, which is probably a pretty good trait to have. In fact, Eddie Rosario in this series alone has swung at more non-strikes than the Yankees have this month. So in the last month. Yeah, it's been looks like a mismatch, and I just don't, the Twins just don't have the pitching to hold up against these guys.
Well, going in, did you think that?
I guess I did. I thought if Berríos could beat him in game one, then you come home and, you might get lucky and get a fifth game, and then who knows what happens. But I thought they were big underdogs, but then I discovered the Yankees are better than I thought they were.
Yeah, they are.
One thing I was saying was, last week was, I think it's great that Giancarlo Stanton's in their lineup because you can pitch to him and strike him out when you have to. Mm-hmm. He's not even chasing. Somebody got, he's only been playing for about a week, and he's not even chasing. And then Encarnacion, who used to be a guy who'd chase too, is waiting for you to throw it in that little box, and then he hits a rocket. So, yeah, they're good. I don't think they can beat Houston, but they're good. It's there is no Yankee jinx. The Yankees have always been better than the Twins, but still, losing to them 12 in a row is pretty phenomenal.
It's humiliating.
Yes, it is.
It's humiliating.
Yes, it is.
After the summer we've experienced and what we've seen, to have them go in there and be so non-competitive infuriated me.
Mm-hmm.
Those were not competitive at bats.
Pat, I saw a stat that since Gladden touched the plate in 91 to win the World Series, 6-23 in postseason play, the Twins are.
Well, where's the 6? Oh, yeah. They beat Oakland 3-2. And they beat Oakland 3-2, and then they beat the Yankees twice.
Well, they also beat the Angels in game one of the ALCS.
In game one, so it is 6. But
see, I just trusted that it was 6. He broke it down. He wanted to.
Correct. There's worse stats than that if you want. I mean, they've since Joe Mays beat them in game one of the ALCS in 2002, they haven't won a home game at Target. A home playoff game.
How was your weekend, Reavers? Were you a little angry?
I was a little fired up.
I think you were.
Well, it's just what you said. It's the lack of a competitive inning.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a game. You just know that that's when DJ LeMahieu led off game two and absolutely sat on a breaking ball and golfed it to right field, you knew the game was over at that point.
I knew the level of Minnesota paranoia about the Yankees, well earned, is that Berríos had a 2-0 lead. And the bottom of the third, it was LeMahieu that hits this little pop-up behind Arias, a rise or whatever the hell we call him. And he didn't catch that. I said, they're going to lose.
No, it's over. It's over.
They're going to lose. And sure enough, they had three runs before the inning was over because they didn't. All of a sudden, C.J. Cron decided to drop that throw, and they just you just hand them three runs and see them.
I was ever the optimist when we got that first run. What was that in the game one? We were up one zip, and I thought, this is it. I was sitting on the couch. I was smiling, going, we got this. I'm such a stupid sap.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
You don't remember Eddie Rosario's three-run homer in the top of the three runs, and Eddie Rosario's two-run homer in the top of the first in 2017. And everybody's going, take that, Yankees.
You suck, Yankees.
Yeah. It was 3-3 by the bottom of the first, by the time the first was over. So
Irv felt bad for him. He wanted to give him a few runs.
The only good thing about tonight is the weather broke for him.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful night, and tomorrow's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah. I mentioned to Joe, though, how great it is that the reunion of Monday Night Sports Talk, which is pretty much a reunion of Saturday Sports Talk, too. Same thing. Same animal.
Right. We ain't doing Saturday.
Same animal. No, we aren't doing Saturday.
Joey D, what are you doing here?
Your old thing was we're not doing Mondays, so I'm done doing Mondays. But anyway,
I don't know what happened. Why are we here? What happened?
It's great nostalgia for me that we're back in the middle of a Twins postseason appearance. Which brings me back great nostalgia to my favorite ever Saturday or Monday show, that being when you and I were in different hotels in Toronto.
Right.
And the Grifter, for some reason, was running the board in 1991.
Yep.
Yes.
It was a technical miracle.
Yes. Do we have a little of that?
Yeah, keep talking. I'm going to pull it up. Okay. I'm going to pull up good part.
We're bringing back a lot of stuff, too. We're going to bring back Zimmer in the lounge.
Nice.
With the lounge music.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were in different hotels.
Yes, we were.
Why were you guys in different hotels?
I don't know.
We worked for different papers.
Yeah,
I suppose.
We were looking for different papers, and we were looking for bargains. And in Toronto, you can't find any. But the Grifter, who was a mellow dude, the late, great Grifter, and, you know, he was out there in the swamp by himself on a Saturday morning, and God knows what was going on. But you remember him saying, everything's copacetic. Everything's copacetic in this mellow thing. And, of course, what I was talking to Grifter, and we didn't have Joe.
Yep.
And then Joe was talking to Grifter. And
didn't have you.
Didn't have me. And then Joe and I were talking to each other. And we
didn't know if we had Grifter.
We couldn't get Grifter to talk to us. And we were saying to each other, don't say anything.
Right.
Because we might be on the air. I love that show. It was Toronto. So it would have been that series started in Minnesota. So it might have been before game four in Toronto, I would guess, on a Saturday. It was Saturday morning, and the Twins. That might have been the night Pally Arullo hit the home run, right? Yeah. Anyway.
Here?
What are we doing here?
I knew it was in October. I didn't know it was this week. I just thought I'd throw that in. Hello? Go ahead. I found that out in 89. Hello. I hear a hum. I wonder if we're just talking to each other. Could be. Grifter, are you there, Grifter?
Could be.
Well, Joe, this is worse than the technical miracle. Hello, Grifter. Hello. Come in, Rangoon. Come in, Rangoon.
If you'd like to make a call.
Hang up. The Grifter will call back. Hello? But you and me still couldn't be talking to each other if we weren't on the radio. Well, it seems to.
Hello?
Hello? Griff, are you there, Griff?
Hello?
That's a woman.
I am.
There's a woman. What was that?
I don't know. There should be someone on by now.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, see?
Am I on?
I think these people are playing games with us. They're calling and then getting on the phone, and when you guys come on, everything, you're not saying anything.
Well, if they are, Griff, they're only in the spirit of the show. Sir, did you hear us talking to each other?
Excuse me? Yeah, all right. Wow. Show today. My God. Yeah, anyway. We tried to warn the management that perhaps they should make some preparations for this, but as always, they
well, you know, forgivable, but whatever.
Okay. I
hope somebody's taping this show. That's what I want. Viking ticket story? What is the Viking ticket story?
All right, let me re-cue some stuff up.
That's good enough. We got the drift of that that show, and I got to tell you, I'm in this new studio here where you do your podcast.
Yes.
It's a considerable technical improvement.
Isn't it wonderful?
From the swamp.
It's
out
wonderful.
There.
Yeah.
Where are you? How long were you in the swamp with us?
April of 91 is when I started.
Holy cow.
Monday
man,
nights.
Alive. Wow. Well, yeah, it was interesting out there. That's for sure.
That was just unbelievable.
Wait, are your show notes written on a receipt?
Yeah, it's a receipt for a couple of Maxwell Poli sausages from Portillo's. So
you got to get the Grunhoffers for those.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I couldn't drive up there, so I had to sit. I went and got a haircut, and then anyway. Here is the item.
Show me the haircut. This
I'm ready
time.
For the item.
All right.
Yes. All right. The Washington Nats are in a predicament now because they blew that lead yesterday.
Right.
So they're down 2-1. And by the time most people get this podcast, they could be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to beat the mighty Dodgers and then advance through the NLCS, this would be the first Washington team to appear in a World Series since 1933. The Washington Senators, owned by Clark Griffith. They played in the World Series in 1924 for the first time, and the only time they ever won, Washington's only World Series championship. And for Game 1 of that World Series, which opened in Washington, Calvin Coolidge threw out the first pitch. President Coolidge.
I want you to know, all these facts are written down on a Portillo
receipt. Yes, right. Yes. 1924, because Coolidge had replaced Harding when Coolidge had the good fortune of Harding dying suddenly. So then Coolidge became president. And in 1925, the World Series opened, I believe, in Pittsburgh. But when they came home from Game 3, Coolidge again threw out the first ball.
Okay.
And then they got beat in that World Series, and they returned to the World Series for the last time in 1933. And FDR, for Game 3 again, came out and threw out the first ball.
Was that pre-polio FDR?
No, but it was pre-public knowledge of the polio. Remember, he never would walk around, and he couldn't walk, but he never let the public know what the hell was going on. But anyway, he threw out the ball, first ball. My question is, if the Nats are to advance to the World Series, would the President of the United States, Donald Trump, show up and throw out the first ball either for Game 1 or Game 3, more likely Game 3, to continue the tradition of never having played a World Series in Washington without the president throwing out the first ball?
That's a great question.
Well, my answer would be, of course he won't.
Well,
he probably can't throw.
I knew you were going to say that. He played at New York Military High School.
He
was a baseball player.
Oh, okay.
He was a first baseman.
Then he can throw.
He was a first baseman, much like George, yes.
Yep.
And a fine golfer. Gets a lot of practice. He's a fine golfer, but he has not shown up to throw out a first ball for a Nats game on the presidential opener that was always used. He hasn't thrown out because I believe for the most part in D.C., he's as popular as he is in the Ricey household. It's not good.
I think
maybe he would have to be willing to have the thick skin to be booed rather lustily. But I think it's a tradition that should be upheld.
I do, too. I think it's fantastic.
You got to invite him.
Yeah.
Don't you?
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to.
Some colonists has got to do this in Washington.
Oh, yes, but unfortunately, the Nets probably are going to take care of that before it becomes an issue. But here's a couple of little other quirks, I really like this one. FDR, of course, led the way with 11 total first pitches because of the openers. Coolidge had 6 of those, you know, counting opening day. And in one of them, for no apparent reason, he wore an Indian headdress when he threw it out.
You're kidding.
Were they playing the Indians?
I don't know. Maybe they were. I'd have to look it up. But the what I read was saying, when you look at these 6, he's wearing an Indian headdress in one of the 6. My question is, if Elizabeth Warren is elected president,
will she wear her headdress?
And comes for the presidential opener and returns the tradition, will Pocahontas wear a Indian headdress?
That's a great question.
I think it all comes around in a circle here. So anyway, I thought that was interesting because the guy wore a headdress and nobody knows why.
I would love to see the Trumper out there with the Nats hat on.
The whole thing. And to have the good humor to accept the booze, although I'm not sure that's his strong point.
I'm not sure that he would be able to handle
which
it.
Year, when is that? Are you going to the deal over at the Target Center? Didn't he hear the
he's here
he
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Thursday night. I offered my services to MC, but it looks like Mike Lindell is going to
The pillow guy. They're buddies.
He loves them. He and I were having dinner together, and I stopped by for the dinner that Hubbard was having for Mike Lindell and those guys. And he started singing the praises of the president, and I said, "Well, we'll see you around, Mike. Thank you. Good client. We appreciate your business. See you later."
So, when do Zim's remarks get released today?
We are monitoring the Vikings' press conference right here. He's not started yet.
Okay.
So we've got an open microphone here.
Okay.
33 was the Giants was the opponent.
The Giants were the opponent. Yep.
Okay. And the headdress makes no sense.
None at all.
I told you before the show that I have a domestic situation, but do you want to wait for Zim first?
No, we don't have Zim yet, but you having a domestic situation, that hasn't changed in the 25 years.
No, it hasn't. No. Here's the dispute. You brought up Mueller's watches.
Right.
I have purchased, I believe, in my many years of being with the domestic associate, at least 4 watches from Mueller, all of which have been upgraded in
quality,
yeah. And I see watches laying around. I rarely see them on her wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So she was going through her jewelry assortment looking for something, and she came downstairs with this box of watches with 11 of them. I think there were 11 of them, and she wanted me to take them to the battery store to get batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. And I said, okay, I don't think that we have to get batteries in all 11 of them.
Right.
Since 8 or 9 of them will sit in the box and run down to nothing.
That's right.
You know, let's do 4.
That's right.
Yeah,
let's do 4.
Yeah,
rotate.
That's exactly what I said. Pick out the 4 you want.
Yep.
Here we go. And I said, by the way, 2 of these are too expensive to take to the battery store. We're going to have to take them to a watch repair place.
Got to go to Mueller.
Mueller.
Yeah.
And she said, I think I'm entitled to have batteries in all of my watches. And let me decide which one I'm going to wear.
Okay.
And I said, well, generally, your decision is not to wear any of them. And I have no idea what it would cost. It's not a cost issue. It's a garage logic common sense issue that there's no sense in having a Timex that should be thrown in the garbage get a new battery.
Well, 10 of them are
going
to run down.
Yes. Well, at least 8 of them are going to run down because there's a real spiffy one you could wear for more formal occasions.
Sure.
And you got the other ones. But I think I'm 100. She's so preoccupied with this She brought it up to two of her sisters, and they back her.
Really?
I did she?
As a minimalist with 11 watches, I think the least we could do is have, up-to-date batteries.
Yeah,
but
then, you know, then when it gets down to number 11, we're going to have to go get a new battery because it's been in there for 3 years,
Joe,
right?
Before you rule, Pat, we need to know, was the conversation between you and the DA this calm at that time, or was there a little bit more emphasis placed on...
She had a hard time getting past the idea that this was a financial decision and not a logic decision.
Mm-hmm. It's not a financial decision.
It's not. It's a. What difference does it make if they're sitting in the jewelry box if they're running or not?
Right.
Because they're not getting out of the jewelry box.
I'm struggling to understand her rationale here.
I am too.
I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm. But anyway. I think the decision became, okay, in that case, I'm not getting batteries in any of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's stubbornness.
I said,
what
if I take three of them, the three nicest ones, in? One of them's an heirloom that we bought, an antique that I got about 3 years ago from Mueller. Great watch, fantastic watch. Another one's like $800-$900 that sits there.
Yep.
Let's get a battery in those and then start showing them off.
Or solve the dilemma of why don't you wear a watch in the first place?
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, in fact, Pat, a couple of weeks ago, Joe was doing a Mueller ad. I don't know if you caught this or not, but he was saying how you could pretty much take anything there to get your battery replaced. And so Kenny said, what about my truck?
Mueller gave me a little talking to. People were bringing in lawn tractor batteries. Threatening to bring in car batteries. See, you missed it. In September, at all RF Mueller jewelry stores, all the battery replacement...
Oh, no. Can I get the late No Joe bargain?
All the battery replacement money went to the Children's Cancer Research Fund.
You can't argue with that?
No, you can't argue with that.
No. They didn't charge a extra fee for that part.
No.
Okay. Wow. I should have done that.
Is everybody pleased now with Kirk Cousins? Is he back in your good standings?
Sure, but that's a team he should beat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's changed many people's
opinions. It is very difficult for people to take such strong stances and then say, okay, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
They have a hard time doing that. Now, I can take a strong stance on this and never admit I'm wrong on the watches, but on sports issues, I'm willing to bow once in a while.
Well, we're all going to
be. I don't think he's as bad as people think he is. I'd say he's top 12, 13 quarterback. He just was smart enough to get all his money guaranteed, and people don't like that.
Yeah. Well, Thielen got the ball yesterday, and Diggs got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They deny they had a problem with Diggs. Why'd they fine him $200,000?
Yes, it was a media creation.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, we just stole $200,000 from him. And by the way, anybody who thinks Stefan is going to take this with the good nature he did Sunday and that there won't be any recriminations in attitude and or effort is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, but somebody told me that the problem is Diggs wants to be the star, and he, you know, he wants to be a focal point of the offense, and he's not. And Thielen's only problem is he doesn't like Cousins. So, you know, everybody looks at the black guy and says, because most of the receiver divas have been traditionally African American, not all of them, but Thielen is just as much of a diva as Diggs is.
We just like him better.
Sure, he can catch. From Detroit Lakes and Mankato, yeah. Oh, he can catch like crazy.
What are you hearing, Rook?
The press conference has begun.
Yeah.
But the problem we're going to run into is it's a live press conference.
So?
As it's being recorded now.
Mm-hmm.
So it will...
Well, we can cap off
what do you mean?
First effort.
So you're going to hear the questions from the reporters.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear him respond.
Yeah. We just want a little of Zim's voice, right?
Yeah. All right, hang on.
Let's see if it works as well as the show with the grifter.
He's in a lounge. He's in a lounge on Hennepin Avenue.
This is a mini technical miracle.
Okay.
It's Hurst has done a nice job when he's got in there.
This is what I wanted.
Nice obviously, we're going to need those guys.
Hey Mike, I know you talked about already being cautious for throwing the flag on that defensive pass interference or offensive pass interference. Does that make you, the result yesterday, does that make you even more cautious now or reluctant to do that?
I might have did that because I was mad. Yeah, I still think it, you know, I'm not going to get into it because I'll get fined, but I'm only here so I don't get fined. That's true, too. Two last questions. He's going to say in a minute. Two last questions. I figured they wouldn't overturn it, but, you know, I saw the guy grab Trey, and Trey was looking back for the ball, and, you know, it was a 50-yard penalty, so I said, what the heck? So that was kind of my thinking then. He got in bad position early, and then he did not do a good job of catching up to him before he started looking back.
He's had, I think, 4 penalties in 5 games. Are you concerned about
it's smoky in the lab.
No, I just think we have to clean up some technique with some of our defensive backs. Not just him, but, you know, we've got some other guys that we need to clean up our technique. And, you know, at times throughout the game, they might be perfect 60, 70% of the time, and then the other 30% they get sloppy. So we have to clean that up.
It seems like he hasn't been shadowing for the last 3 weeks. Is there a particular reason for that?
I told him not
what's
to.
What's shadowing? Huh? I don't know what shadowing is. Huh?
That doesn't mean shadowing's going to be like that every week. It's just how we decided to do it this particular week and that particular week. So. Mm.
That's a term that they've since.
Stand out to you in particular when you rewatched Mike Hughes' game and just the way he was able to deflect passes up.
Yeah, Mike played really well.
I realize now why I never missed this.
Really good.
Why I never missed this.
He had a couple bad plays in there. The one where they caught
really
the ball just outside the end zone. Mm-hmm. That was
no.
But it is. He sounds medicated, doesn't he?
Because mm-hmm.
he's not that calm of a guy usually.
What are we going to learn from Bruce Boudreau? He doesn't have much of a club, I'm afraid.
I don't think they got her. You know, they
don't have a guy.
Nope. They supposedly the little Ruski mm-hmm. over in Russia, Kaprasov, is going to be good when he gets here next year. But it'll be interesting to see how big a punch they take at the gate.
Do we know why they're only going to have one home game between now and October 20th?
It's not like there's a lot of stuff going on in mm-hmm. the arena, is there, Rook? I mean, do they have a...
They open Saturday at home.
Used to be when the circus came to town at Met Center. They don't even have a circus
or the
anymore.
High school state tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're going to, from November 1st to the start of the tournaments, November, December, and January, they're going to have to be home the whole time.
Yeah.
We do have one more question. Yeah. We should probably finish in the Jazzy Lounge.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it the number of amateurs?
And that kind of closes her out there.
That's what that fatty gets for trying to be a smartass.
You know you love
eye doctor.
You know you love football when you damn near lose your eye. You still got to get out there and coach.
Yes, has that all been repaired?
Yeah, I think
his vision's. I think they fixed him pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm not. But he's a. I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's equipped for this. Man, he's. He gets very upset.
Yes, he does.
Gets very upset.
He's well, don't. Every NFL coach does, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Bud handled in a different way. You know, Bud would ream out the officials, but then he'd go duck hunting. I think this guy just goes home and watches all kinds of film.
Houses catch fire all the time.
Right. Hey, by the way, because it was such a wonderful tradition of not Monday night sports talk, not Saturday sports talk, but the Joe and Pat hour,
right?
That when it first started and we were doing a 2-hour sports show,
yeah,
which in the middle of the day, the old 2-to-4 show,
yeah,
we came up with what? Let's face it, time fillers, and we had the sports person of the day.
That's right.
I think the certificates
are gone.
You know,
I have completely forgotten about that show.
Really?
I think
that wasn't GL.
That was not Garazzo.
No, that was I was on 12 to 2 with Mackey.
Yep.
You were on 4 to 6 with Garage Logic, or 4 to 6.
Yeah, 4 to 6.
Four to six. And in between, we were going to have 2 hours of sports.
With?
No chance.
Do you know who filled out most of those sheets?
Jamie Erdahl.
Yep.
So,
launching her career.
Yes. So we went to Sports Person of the Day, and you were supposed to have one, and then pretty soon, I don't know, Rook was naming them or somebody.
Butch Weininger bought bread today. Sports Hero today.
That was long after Butch Weininger. But my theory was a Sports Person of the Week. I'm going to have a Sports Person of the Week. And now remember, Adolf Hitler.
Ooh,
was once the Time Man of the Year.
That's right.
And it was based not on good behavior, but on being the most important person in the world. And there's no denying that in the late 30s, he was the most important person in the world.
Is this a clue to your first sports person of the week?
Sports person of the week, Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs
is the most hot button character in Minnesota sports in the last week. Wouldn't you agree?
I'd have to agree with that.
Yes.
And now, is this something you're going to spring on us every Monday?
Yes.
A sports person of the
week. Sports person of the week.
That should be easier than by the day.
We can keep a list and
keep it right there on your Portell's receipt.
Yeah. Is on that list? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right here. See, it says Stephon Diggs right there. Yeah. I wrote Stephon Diggs right there. So that's right. Next, hopefully before next week's show, I will have gotten somewhere to eat and
get a new receipt. I'll tell you what we could do for you too. I could bring you in a yellow legal tablet or something.
Get you some papers.
We got Kleenex here, right?
That's right. Tough to write on Kleenex.
Tough to write. Wrote the joke down.
Are you going to the ballpark tonight?
Oh yeah, right directly from here. Mm-hmm. But you know what's the most amazing thing? You and I first did Sunday nights, 81 to 82 when we got fired. And then we came back in 1983.
Yep.
And let's face it, 2-hour show, 20 minutes was devoted generally to making fun of Sid, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the...
We had the rules.
Yeah, we had the rules. We had the whole thing. And he's still there to make fun of.
He's still there.
He's still there to make fun of.
And he doesn't seem to mind that he's being made fun of.
No, I can't hear anymore.
Because he can't read and can't see it anyway. But what difference does it make?
It's in fact, I so like to sit next to Sid now in the press box, which I rarely do because he usually sits in the back. But they got a full press box with the New York contingent in today.
Yep.
So the Strip only has 5 seats in the main box, and they have 6 people because Sid needs one. And I said, I volunteer to not sit in the main press box. I volunteer to go sit someplace.
Where is the alternative press box?
I don't know. Standing up would be better than sitting next to Sid and have him start babbling. Because Sid now, at the ripe young age of 99, Sid now will sit there silently, and then somebody puts a quarter in him, and he won't shut up for an hour, you know, and starts talking, so... Anyway.
Take our break. No. Start this man right now.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thursday, sports hero. John Gruden. John, your new head coach, the Gophers. I can't go out of it. First of all, we can download all this.
I missed the
link. Hello, mercy on you, you guys.
Keep trying, Sid. Crying Sid is great. Try it again.
He's up right now. He calls the 82-year-old mother. She tells me to go straight to heaven. How do you fight something like that?
My favorite is when he gets
thrown money around.
God is his sports guy.
Thrown around those plenary indulgences.
It's pretty tough.
Where is this in your lowest moments in life, Sid?
It's right down here at the snake's belly.
All right. That gives me a chance to repeat my favorite Chad Sid story, which is 1985. Chad went to the University of Minnesota for a year, and then decided he wanted to go to the Harvard of the West, right. Arizona State.
Well, to play golf.
And the fact to play golf, and the fact that they had the greatest collection of co-eds in the history of man.
Can't blame him.
And in August, Sid and Chad are having a tearful, hugging farewell at the airport. And I am sure most of the weeping was being done by Sid, not Chad. But and now, for the first time since August, Chad's returning for Thanksgiving. And Sid picks him up at the airport. And this is back. You could still go down there if you,
down the gate,
you went through security. You could still go down the gate. And he's waiting for him. And he looked like death. And he's got his head down. And Chad was expecting the big reception when he got off the plane.
I haven't seen him for a while.
And he basically, he could have, you know, David Berkowitz could have been walking in and Sid would have been just as happy. And Chad said, "What's wrong, Dad?" And he said, "Holtz is going to Notre Dame." It was like the Wednesday, and then on that Friday is when he went there, right, the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah. Now we got him. So 5-0, PJ, man. You gonna make me eat all my words?
Is Lovey's beard white, or was that a costume?
No.
I couldn't tell what that was.
He's trying to. He has gone down there and done such a rotten job. He's trying to hide.
Well, he had me fooled.
Yeah, he's trying to have nobody recognize him. What a deal!
Oh man.
The other shocker, my guy Tracy Clays, walking away as the defensive coordinator at Washington State. They had a horrible game. He had everybody loved him out there last year. I think he was either the nominee or the winner of the assistant coach of the National Assistant Coach of the Year. Well, they were playing lowly UCLA in last month, and they gave up, 50 points in the second half, and they blew a 37-point lead, and I guess Leach went nuts, even though he won't admit that. That's what I heard. And then they had another little horrible non-competitive game against Utah, and the tension was such that Tracy apparently quit, and I think he's in year one of a new 5-year, $900-and-some-thousand contract, so he might have walked away from that.
Wow. I love Leach, though, when you hear his comments.
Yeah. Oh, he's hilarious.
Because he just doesn't hold anything back.
Oh, God, he says anything.
Latest was, Pac-12 media day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was rattling off
his own team. Wasn't
no, he was rattling off which mascots would win in a fight.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he'll say
good
anything.
Stuff.
Well, what I love about the guy is he got fired at Texas Tech, and I think he's out of job for about 2 years because allegedly for being abusive to a player, who was the
Craig
son
James's
of Craig
kid.
James's kid. Yep. And he and the wife liked the water, bought a home in Key West.
Yep.
So that's their home, Key West. And now he's working in Spokane, Washington.
Yep.
So I looked at 3,700 miles or 3,100 miles or something. So basically when the season ends and the recruiting is over in February, he's gone.
Yep.
You know, he'll come back for spring ball, but he's down there on the water and the assistants are running the operation back up there. The funniest thing ever, though, is when and their reporters out there know how to use him. That one last year when the guy was getting married, and he said, "What advice would you have for, you know, a young man who's getting married?"
Mm-hmm.
And he went on for 8 minutes with all this crazy stuff. You might be able to find that Mike Leach on marriage. It's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it made the rounds.
Yes, it did. That made the late, seldom lamented ride with Racy. So
I can find
anywho. That. How do you like the podcast world? It's great, isn't it?
I love it.
Yeah,
I do.
I can, you don't have to.
I think this show needs some adjustment. Monday Night Sports. I don't think we figured it out yet.
First
one. Yeah.
In fact, Pat, Joe loves it. I think his favorite part is being able to be in the studio during commercial breaks with Kenny. He's been opened up.
I've never
world.
Exposed to that. To that. Yeah, it's just incredibly bad stuff.
The off-air portion can get very raw.
Oh, well, my word.
Raw is a good word.
See, I never saw or heard any of that because you're on the other side of a glass wall.
The best part was when I did the 13 months of the morning show, we had Rosie as the producer.
Oh, Bernsey.
Bernsey, yes. What am I talking about? Rufsey was one of my other failed shows. I get confused.
That morning show only lasted 13 months,
and then we became a sports station.
That's right.
And that's how you got the two-hour sports show that you're trying to forget.
Right. But, I forgot all about it.
Yes. That was Bernsey, and Bernsey and Kenny were, like Trump and Pocahontas. They did not get along. Oh. And so we had that going on in there, Kenny and Bernsey. And then we had
Bobby Berglund.
Well, Berglund was fantastic. And Coles was great, too. But the tension was palpable when Kenny and Bernsey were back there.
Well, in GL, it's just one happy family.
Yes, it is.
Really
one
happy family.
Really is one big happy family. That is true. Have you and I ever had a spat?
Not really.
I mean, on a before a show.
You were mad at him in '88.
Yeah, I left.
That was probably the worst.
When he didn't call from the Masters.
No.
But I tell you what, he was upset longer that I didn't call from the Masters than he was that I went to the.
Yes.
Well, that's when I wished
oatmeal,
warm oatmeal would have been poured down your back.
I don't hear it anymore, but for at least 10 years, I'd hear. Hey, oatmeal ass, when I was walking around.
Isn't that nice to know that they were listening?
Came to the fair that year with a can of
Quaker oats.
Strapped to it.
I remember seeing a photo of that once. Yeah. Why oatmeal? What was the context?
I just wanted him to have the most. He went. The year Freddie Couples won the Masters, I really wanted to talk about it. And Royce had a decision to make. I either fulfill my obligation to the show or
take
the hell out of here.
Get this
I got on a plane. He got on a plane. And I got rid of that. I wished him the worst. I hope he gets it.
Next week we'll have
next
to
week
play.
We'll pull that one
out. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank
what
you.
Else we got? We done?
Yeah. I'm a big Pat Mahomes fan, by the way.
Ooh, yeah.
Every time that guy's on TV, I try to watch.
You know, his son, his father, what I mean son, his father was also a great all-around athlete at the same high school and could have been a fine college quarterback. Not as good as this guy, but he was a great basketball player, too. And, of course, ended up signing with her baseball because they had the money. I think Pat Jr. might have had a higher score on the ACT than Pat Sr. would have. But Pat Jr. is a fan. You know who's his godfather? LaTroy Hawkins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's really tight with
the kid. But he's so clever. I'm hoping he'll avoid concussions. He's that smart.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't get. He is a fantastic. Really, supposedly a really good kid.
Yeah, he seemed like a good guy.
Very likable. Yep. Yeah, he's very likable.
But they get beat yesterday. That's a big old shocker.
I think Frank Reich's a good coach.
Yeah, I think
I really do.
Has he got a little more Zim there?
No, we're going to wrap this up. The Starlight Lounge.
Okay.
We'd like you to retire downstairs with some light appetizers and refreshments.
Well,
Mr. Zimmer has completed his.
After the reviews come in, we'll find out if we'll be back next week, huh?
Yes. You know where to find us. They can go to, they can find us at garagelogic.com. I don't know if that Sports Talk has a landing page yet, but if you got questions, send Reavers an email.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Check this out. You mean to tell me?
I don't know
that
what.
We don't even know how people can listen to this?
I wasn't supposed to say that kind
of. The richest tradition of Monday Night Sports Talk.
Another technical miracle. If you find this and you're listening this far into it,
let me know how you found it.
You've performed your own technical miracle.
That's right.
All right, we'll see you next week.
Hey, Josh is going to help sponsor this, so nice to have him, Josh.
I love Josh Arnold. Josh Arnold Investment. He has been a wonderful, wonderful investor.
Okay.
Thank you, Josh. We love you.